Y'all, Brother Jimmy and I go back. How many years, Brother Jimmy?
Pretty close to 30.
When we were in jail together,
that's right.
We said, when I got out, he'd have me come preach for y'all. How about that? But it's good. During the church service, I'll tell you more about me in the introduction, but I pastored a church for... Am I not on yet? Here we go. It's green. It's green. Does that sound good? A little closer. We can make it. Oh, I think I hear it now. Let me get all set. Yeah, I'll introduce myself a little bit more during the Sunday morning service, but thank you for the warm welcome. Debbie and I, we've been doing evangelistic work, a pastor at the same church, Brother Jimmy knows this, and Sister Debbie, 26 years. Started with four people, and to God's glory and His alone, we got up to about 1,100. Souls were saved, and things change in life. Y'all know that. Nothing stays the same. The thing is whatever you go in life, the Lord's got to be with you. That's the main thing. So I'll tell you a little bit about my salvation and stuff during the message today. But it's such a joy to be with y'all. Thank you for having us. I want to tell y'all, we had a good supper. Debbie, you put out some good grub last night. We ate with them last night. We met the goats. I drank some real milk. And it was just, I mean, honestly, it was wonderful. And y'all were so good to us. And so I'll get right into the lesson. Don't want to take too long, but let me tell you what I want to do. All the years I pastored at my church, I never wanted to fill everybody up. One of the lessons I learned is I want to give you enough to make you hungry. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, now during this COVID thing, what we're dealing with is everybody's doing the drive-through and get you food and take it home. So let me tell you what my desire is on this lesson for Sunday school this morning is not to feed you full. My desire is to give you a take-home plate. So after I get through this morning, I want you to go home and I want you to get your paper and pen ready saying what that man talked about today, I want to read more about this. So my desire is not to say, boy, he just really put a lot on us. I can't remember what it was. That defeats the purpose, Brother Jimmy. But if this morning in Sunday school, I can give you something to make you hungry about what I'm going to talk about, you're going to say, glory to God, I want to know more about that. You heard about the fella, he taught his Sunday school class, he spent an hour on the book of Hosea, teaching in one, he spent 45 minutes in the book of Joel, and then he scratched his head and he says, now where am I going to put Amos? And a guy raised his hand, he says, Amos can have my seat, I've stayed long enough. he said, so I'm not going to bore y'all, I was called to preach when I was 10 years old, and I believe three things, stand up, speak up, shut up. So that's what I do. But I want to talk to you this morning. I think it's an important thing, and I wrestled in my heart about it for Sunday school. But take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, when I give the title, you're going to get hungry right away. I promise you. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. And when I give you what the subject is for this Sunday school hour, you're going to be hungry. And here it is, finding God's will. Finding God's will. Now, here's the thing. You never come to the place that you just say, well, I don't need to know that anymore. We're every day finding God's will. Whether you're 14 or 40, if you're 6 or 60 or 70 or 80, every day needs to be ordered by the Lord. There never comes a time you say, well, that doesn't matter anymore. Yes, it matters. To the day Jesus comes back or you and I take our last breath, every day needs to say, Lord, what's your will? Amen. Do I get an amen on that? And here's something else about me. You could either say amen or roll tide. I'll take either one, all right? Is there any Auburn fans? Is there any Auburn people in here? God bless y'all. I love y'all. Don't get mad at me, please. War Eagle for y'all, okay? Not her? You are the other? Oh, she is? But y'all, okay, well, I love you. I love you in Jesus' name, amen. So finding God's will, look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. I love having a good time. I'm not a boring guy. I love having a good time. So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Verse 2. And then would they not have ceased to be offered? I'll explain this in a minute. Because that the worshipers once purged should have not had no more conscience of sins. Verse 3. And in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats, that we're talking about them goats, should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Verse 7 is the key verse. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do the will of God. Underline those words. To do the will of God. Father, this is a precious, special place. And I'm asking you right now, Lord, to please use me. We've just met some new friends, and they don't know me, and I don't know them. So we got to have the Holy Spirit to just melt us together. This is the first time we've met. And so, Lord, I'm asking you right now, just do something in all of our hearts that we say, yes, the Lord has put us together because His Spirit is in the room. And I ask you, Father, as we do this Sunday school lesson and we talk about the will of God, that somebody will go out of this room after Sunday school with a whole new desire about the will of God, different than the way they came in. It is not an accident, Lord, we're talking about this. So I ask you, Lord, to please help me be a blessing. Please, Lord, create in my heart first and then all of our hearts the hunger to know and to live in God's will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I want you to look at the verses that we just read. This is what he's talking about. These are some great verses. Offerings and sacrifices in the Old Testament were shadows of what Jesus was going to do on the cross. Those offerings and sacrifices didn't save anybody. Make sure you understand that. Those were just, every time there was a turtle dove or a lamb offered, it was pointing to Calvary. And then it even makes it very clear that these offerings and sacrifices, what we just read, makes it clear that it doesn't even begin to touch what Jesus did at the cross. Now see, I'm one of them shouting Baptists. I'm an old country Baptist. I want to have a spell when I think about that. I don't care how many lambs and goats and turtle doves were offered. It doesn't ever begin to compare to what God was going to do at Calvary with Jesus. So that's just a shadow of what everything that they did by having the spotless lamb and doing all the things they did doesn't even begin to touch what Jesus was going to do on the cross. And so it makes it very clear that every bit of those sacrifices and offerings was a picture of Jesus doing what he was going to do. But here's the thing, two things. Those sacrifices, I've already said it, did not take away sin. It was just a picture of what Jesus was going to do. And then number two, it did not even do anything to soothe the conscience. So in other words, when anybody in the Old Testament brought the lamb to the priest and he killed it, they still had a conscience for their sin. Thank God, because of Calvary, our conscience can be cleared. No matter what we've done in our past, our conscience can be cleared. Not because we're good, it's because what Jesus did good in us. Woo! Hallelujah. And that's what the Bible teaches. But then it goes even further to explain that God prepared for Jesus a human body. Y'all know this. You know already, excuse me, that he didn't have a body in heaven. But he was given a body through who? Mary. And so he was given that body. And when Jesus came, he came to do God's will. Now this is the first thing I want you to understand. We'll be asked the question, why did Jesus come to the world? And the thing that we normally will say, to save the world from their sin. That's not the first reason. Did you know that? The very first reason, number one, Jesus came was to do God's will. God's will was to save us. Write this down. I love this thought. God thought salvation. Jesus bought salvation. And the Holy Spirit brought salvation. So understand, these are all solid Bible truths that I'm giving you now. So when Jesus left and took on, and this is Christmas time, and he took on this human form, what was the purpose? It was to do exactly what his Father wanted him to do. That's the reason why I want you to write down John chapter 19, verse 30. On the cross, when Jesus says, it is finished, you know what he was saying? from the time he was born to the time he went to that cross, he completely fulfilled everything in God's will. Nothing was left undone. Redemption had been purchased. All the examples of the healing and showing the love and the mercy and forgiveness of God. Everything that was in God's will was accomplished through his Son Christ. And he says, it is finished. Jesus was consumed every day of his 33 and a half years was doing his Father's will. Y'all know that already. He was consumed with that. You know, I was thinking about it as I was preparing the lesson. There used to be a time that people were so consumed with what is God's will. Oh, thank you, brother. I'll take that. That's good. He said, there would be, they'd say, we're consumed with God's will. And people would always ask you, when I pastored those 26 years, Brother Keith, help me know God's will. Can I be honest with you? I don't hear that much anymore. Think about it. All the time, I want to just know God's will for my life. I'm not talking about being a preacher, a missionary, just an error. But you, now you don't hear that so much. You know why? Because we're so used to living in our will. We're so used to doing things our way, we don't need his will anymore. But when the chips are down, when we get the bad doctor, oh Lord, what's your will? But when everything is going good, y'all hear me. We don't need his will because our will is working. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to change that. When things are good or bad, up and down, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me, make me after thy will while I'm waiting, yielded and still. So let me give you some verses to write down. You're about to get blessed. I believe you will, not because of me, but in spite of me. Let's get involved in finding God's will. God's will, get this, God has a plan for every life. Write this down. God's plan, I'm going to get a little swig of this and I'll be ready to go. God's plan suits your personality, your talents, your looks, your potential, your environment, and your ability. It will match those things. What I'm simply saying is, you don't have to go to Africa and be God's will. There's so many people say, yeah, I want God's will to be done, but I think I'm supposed to go to England and be a missionary. God's will is not about the where. It's about the what. There's a lot of people that, well, I just can't do God's will here in Alabama. I got to go to Canada. No, if you're not doing what God wants you to do here, can I say it plain? You ain't going to do it in Canada. So don't be consumed about the where. Be consumed about the why and do it here. Then, like I said a few minutes ago, your talents and personalities. In my church, as the lady says, I just feel like God wants me to sing. I think God wants me to do CDs and sing. So we let her sing one time in the church. Folks, it wasn't God's will for her to sing. Let me tell you. I mean, and honestly, you know, she'd always, and I'm not making this up, she'd say, I want to sing. We were not fancy. We were a country church. We're so close to being snake handling Baptist where I was. But anyhow, not really. But she, I want to sing on Sunday morning. So I'd say, let her sing Wednesday night. But she just knew that was God's will for her life. Listen to me. She missed God's will. When she sang, the angels cried. It's horrible. So when you start saying, this is what God wants for me, make sure that it's what he wants, not what you want it to be. All right, now you got your Bible ready. Write this down. Ephesians 2:10. We have an ordained work of God to do, to walk in every day. Here's the verse. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath both before ordained that we should walk in them. So there is an ordained plan for your life. Never say, well, look at him or her. They're talented. God's got a plan for them, but I don't think he has anything for me. Hush your mouth. He's got a plan for everybody. There's a second thing. I want you to get these. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Be patient and get rid of those things that would hinder God's will in your life. So in other words, remember that old 60s show, I Dream of Jeannie, and they'd give things or be with, you know, but they think, God's will is going to be revealed to me just like that, just like, boof, there it is. God's will, you got to be patient for. It doesn't all happen in 1 minute. It takes time. So as God is performing, according to Hebrews, as God is performing his will in our life, what do? Here's our job. Get the things out of our life that would hinder that will of God being done in our life. So let him take care of the will. This is good. Let him take care of the will. You take care of the weeds. Write that down. So you've got junk in your life and you want God to work. Lord, do your work. But I see that I got some kudzu growing in my life. And as you clear the path of getting right with him, his will be done in your life. Man, that's good stuff, don't you think? All right, I want you to write down another one. Acts 22:14. You can hear his voice to know his will. Now that scares us Baptists. Because there's so many people saying, God told me, that's not what I'm talking about. But honestly, I'm not talking about a voice that says, like in the Ten Commandments, Moses, I'm not talking about that. But if you're walking with the Lord, come on now. You hear his voice inside of you leading you. I mean that with all my heart. There's a preacher friend of mine that he and his wife had a new baby. And I don't know a lot about formulas and stuff like that, but the baby had to be on a special formula because it could keep nothing else down. And he went off to run a revival, and his wife thought that she had enough formula for the revival. But I guess the baby was extra hungry and ate extra more. And then finally, when it got to the last 2 days of the revival, they didn't have enough formula. And you just couldn't walk in a, you know, Dollar General or somewhere to get it. It was just not good because the baby would get sick. But they were out where there was just no place to go. True story. He said, Lord, please, this baby needs food. Guide me. He gave the testimony that in his heart, now this touches my heart, the Lord said, go down here, go down here. And he did exactly what that little voice said inside him. Why? Because he was walking in God's will. Ladies and gentlemen, that evangelist walked in the store, went to the right aisle, and on that shelf was the formula that he needed. That's the kind of God we got. But we put him in our little box. We put him in our little box, and he can't get out of that box. I want you to know he's bigger than anything in the world. Whatever you need him to be, he's ready to give it to you. That little baby needed formula. He didn't go to the book of Nehemiah and said, thou shalt find the formula. Where did he get the message? It had to come inside of him to know where to go. When you're walking with the Lord, he'll talk to you. You believe that? Amen. Psalm 32, verse 8, write this. Like it says, I'm giving you a take-home bag. I'm not going to feed you. I want you to take these verses. 32, verse 8, he promises to instruct and teach and to guide us in his will. That verse even says he's got his eye on you. Brother Keith, what are you trying to tell us? That once he has a declaration of his will in your life, you are not on your own. All right, here's my will for you. I'm going to teach you how to do it. I'm going to guide you how to do it. He doesn't let you be on your own. That makes me feel good because there's a lot of things that I've seen as his will, but he's been with me every step of the way. He don't say, here's my will. See you next Christmas. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. So whenever you get so excited about doing his will, he's always there to say, this is what I want you to do. This is how you do it. I love that. Here's another one I want you to write down. Psalm 37, verse 23. Every step you take has God's will. In other words, he's not going to reveal something to you, but every part, it's not just the big picture. It's not just the big picture. It's every step of your life that's a part of God's will. That's where we mess up. We got that. God's will is for me to have a children's home. And I can see it over there, and there's the pond, and there's the children's home, and there's the playground. That's the big picture. God's will is getting to that spot, step by step, not just the big picture. That's why a lot of people get discouraged about God's will. They have this big, this is what they expect it to be, but it's not happening. And they say, well, I just don't see anything happening. Don't play God. You just be faithful and let God be God and every man a liar. I see preachers get discouraged. I see people in ministry get discouraged because they got it. This is what I think should be happening. Don't play God. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. And don't get discouraged. Don't have the plan made for God. Just be patient and take each step till you get to where He wants you to go. This is good stuff. Isaiah 58 verse 11. He will continually guide you. And I think I've emphasized that enough. But I want to give you the verses to study at home. Isaiah 30 verse 21. God's plan is definite and precise. God does not do His will like Jeopardy. That you've got to come up with a question. I want you to understand, He doesn't. You don't know how I know y'all don't know me, but I hope you can see my spirit towards y'all because I love y'all today and I've never met you. But God doesn't say, here's my will. Ha, you missed it, tricked you. Ha, ha, ha. No, He doesn't do that. His plan is very precise and it's very definite. Here's the big thing. If you feel like something is God's will and there's a lot of question and a lot of confusion, He's not the author of confusion. So in other words, you say, this is God's will, but it just doesn't make, I just confusing to me. Back off, because that may be that other fella trying to give you his will. His name's the devil. Amen. Because he is the author of confusion. Well, this is good stuff. So in other words, you're saying, okay, this is God's will. He'll give you a peace. We'll talk about that. And then you'll see things opening up. But like I say, if you say, I think this is God's will, but I'm just so confused about it, it's not happening. Back off. Because that's the devil trying to get you to take another path. Y'all believe that? Amen. It's the truth. All right, here's another one. Write these verses down. Psalm 143, verse 8. God wants to show him to you. God wants you to show him. God wants you to show him you want to know his will. Psalm 143, verse 8 says, cause me to hear, cause me to know, wherein shall I walk. So it's a two-way street. It's that you're saying, Lord, I'm going to convince you I want your will. So he's going to be anxious to give you his will. So show him you have a desire for that will. That's important. Here's another one. Write it down. Romans 12, 2. You know this. God's will is always good and always perfect and always acceptable. I didn't say it's always going to be ideal. But whenever you get in God's will, have peace in your heart. I really know this is what God wants. I know it's good. I know it's acceptable. And I know it's perfect. I didn't say convenient. But in your heart, you say, Lord, I just know this is right. I know I've heard from you. It's hard, but it's right. I went to college in 75 through 79 in Indiana. And I'm an Alabama boy. I'm a country boy. And I knew that I was supposed to go to college and get my degree. But you know what I do? I would borrow one of my roommate's cars and I'd go down and sit at 65 South. And our house was right there. But that was before the big 65. It was like the Highway 31. But it was, and I'd say, down on the other end of this road on the left is where I live and I sure do miss it. This is where I'm supposed to be, but that's where I really miss. I wasn't shouting every day I was up there in college, but I knew that's where I was supposed to be. I knew that's where I was supposed to get my education. But I wanted Kimberly, Alabama. But I knew that that's what I was supposed to do. Do not attribute God's will as everything's wonderful. It's not about external things. It's about internal things. Y'all believe that? Amen. All right, stay with me now. We're having fun, aren't we? Amen. Jeremiah 10:23. You are not capable of planning your own life. Let me read that verse to you. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Did you know that was in the Bible? If you didn't write any of these verses down, I'd write that one down. Jeremiah 10:23. It's not in us to walk to plan our life. That's scary. To live your life without knowing His will is like we going down to the Birmingham airport and I say, all right, here, get this Southwest airline. You're going to fly it. I don't know anything about flying a plane. you're flying your life. That's even bigger. When we don't have any desire about His will, we're flying our own life. And that's a crash ready to happen. You can't design your life. That's why I'm trying to tell you, be anxious about God's will, because you're going to crash without it. There's another verse. But before that, God's plan for your life has some exceptions. I want you to understand that there's some things that's got to be understood about this. And I want you to write them down. First of all, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, there's got to be moral purity. God's will, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, God's will is not like three curtains. Do you want to vote today? Curtain number one, or curtain number two, or curtain number three, you choose. In order for us to obtain God's will, the Bible teaches there's got to be a moral purity. If we're not morally pure, you can forget God's will. There's a second exception, and that is we've got to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And those verses teach us that we've got to be thankful. We got to have a heart of thankfulness. Not just when the turkey's there with the cranberry sauce every day. Lord, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Amen? In other words, God's will requires you to be thankful. If you're up with somebody that's not thankful, you can also say goodbye to God's will. You've got to create this. I'm thankful. I'm thankful today. This is the day the Lord made. I'm rejoicing and being glad in it. You are fertilizing the ability for God to perform His will in your life. Romans 12, 2. I gave you, here's the other one. You got to separate from the world system. You cannot be in the world and know God's will. I can't understand it that our churches today, please forgive me, y'all, but now they want to say, we're doing God's will and God's best. And they act like the world. They dress like the world. They rock like the world. They have smoke and light. And they're all so stinking worldly. And they're like the world. But they think, oh, we're in the middle of God's word. Don't lie to me that way. The Bible says that you and I cannot practice the world's ways to know God's will. I'm just giving you these explanations. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. You have to have good deeds. That verse says, good deeds don't keep you saved. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, good deeds don't keep you saved. Good deeds keep you in God's will. Now, you've got certain religions that believe you keep your salvation by doing good things. That's not biblical. But let's be Bible. Our good deeds keep us in God's will. So, in other words, you're hungering for God's will. You're in God's will. How do I keep that will of God in my life fertilized and growing? Do good things. Be a blessing to others. You hear what I'm saying? Do good. That helps. Do good deeds. Write somebody a note. Just thinking about you, whether it's a piece of paper or text or however you do it. Just be mindful about doing good things for people. That helps in God's will. Psalm 37, verse 3, you have to trust the Lord. And you, it's just so hard to trust the Lord. Let me give y'all an example. See that chair? I don't know that chair. I don't know who made that chair. I don't know where that chair came from. But watch this miracle. Can I show you a miracle? Hey, y'all, I didn't fall. You know what I just did? I trusted this chair. If I could trust this chair not falling and make a fool of myself and y'all break out laughing. If I can trust this chair and I know nothing about its past, you can trust the Lord because you know everything about His past. I love that. You can trust Him. Stay with me. Psalm 37, verse 4, you got to be happy. You know somebody that's not happy? There's so many people. I always hear people say, looking forward to Friday. People at work say, can't wait. Thank God it's Friday. Well, I thank God it's Monday. They're just always so happy. I mean, good night. I'm happy about Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. But how many people at work, y'all work with them? Friday! Something happens to them. The rest of the day, well, how are you doing? It could be better. You know, you tell something good. Well, I don't know. I don't have the COVID yet, but I think I had COVID 12 back when that hit. You know, and just you know, there's some people, pastors would say, don't ever ask them how they're doing because they'll tell you. So I'm really trying. I love you folks, and I hope you could tell that I want to be a blessing in Sunday school. But good night, and be happy. I'm not about to be a fake. Just think of what God, first thing, I think about my salvation every week. I do it. I think about when I was 9 years old, when he came into my heart. What a wonderful day, and my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. So much to be happy about. Do you realize you only have, every one of us have a certain amount of days. Let's just say all of those are tickets. The very day that you have such a lousy, moody attitude, that's a day that's gone. There's only so many left down the line. So you better make the best today because you just burn a ticket up. Is your role now this big? And now you've had all these negative days, if this big, and they're gone. Bless the Lord, we ought to just have an invitation now to say, Lord, you know, I don't know how many days I've got left, but I'm going to make sure they're happy ones. In your will. Write this one down, Psalm 37, verse 5. You have to commit to put your faith in Him alone. That's a part of His will, Psalm 37, verse 5. Now, I gave you two thoughts. You got to trust Him, and you've got to commit your faith in Him. What's the difference? I'm going to illustrate that so you can understand. Trusting is a little baby being held by the dad. That's daddy. I'm trusting daddy to hold me, not drop me. That's trust. Committing your faith to him is a little baby going to sleep in daddy's arms. So that's what you and I've got to get in our life. I know I'm in his arms, but be willing to just go to sleep in his arms if it needs to be, because you know everything's going to be all right. So in other words, in your heart you say, I do trust the Lord. But let me just check that doctor's report one more time. Trust the Lord. But just say, Lord, I'm just sleeping in your arms because no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Amen. There's more. I'm nearly at the end here. Psalm 37, verse 7. You got to rest in him. I told you that. That's the baby example I gave you. Psalm 37, verse 7. Put your faith in him. Rest in him. Then how do we know God's will? I'm getting to the good part. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. How do we know God's will? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You first got to be saved. You can't know him unless you know his son. Number two, Romans 12:2. It is a process. I've already made that clear. I want to make sure you get this. It is a process. I've seen people get so discouraged. I've seen preachers get so discouraged. Well, it just didn't happen yet. It is a process. Read your Bible. Moses, how many years? God just doesn't act like that. Do you realize from the day Adam and Eve sinned to the time of the cross, there were 4,000 years before he gave the Redeemer? Time is no big thing to God, but it's such a big thing to us. And so we want God's will, and if it just doesn't happen like we want, we get so discouraged. So there's some exceptions you've got to understand. It's a process. Lord, I'm being honest with you, Lord, I really thought this would happen by now. I really did. I prayed about this. I cleaned my heart, and it's not happened yet. But Lord, I'm still trusting you. Tomorrow's another day. I'm giving you Bible truth. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3. You got to want it. How do I find God's will, Brother Keith? I want you to get this. To know God's will, you got to know Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I've said that. It is a process. Romans 12:2. And you've got to desire. Jeremiah 33:3. I've already given you that. Now here's the meat, and I'm about done. Here's the tail end. This is what you've been waiting on. Here it is. How does God guide me in his will? How do I know it? Write it down. Psalm 119, verse 105. I'm going to tell you how God guides you to his will. Psalm 119, 105, through his word. Amen. If you don't read your Bible, you won't know which way to go. Amen. You've got to stay in the book. Number two, Romans 8:16, his spirit inside of you. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you. It's not because the Holy Spirit had nowhere to live. The Holy Spirit moved inside of you to guide you to all truth. So what do I do, Holy Spirit? I do this. Holy Spirit, you live inside of me. You're in there. Been there since October 3rd, 1965. I need you to help me know the right answer about something I'm going to do. He's in there to guide you. Y'all believe that? Genesis, and I'm not going to read this because of time. Genesis 24, 12 through 16. How do I know God's will in something? Circumstances. There will be problems that may come up. Valleys. Sickness. Doors open. Doors closed. God uses those things. I'm in evangelism now because doors closed and I'm enjoying every minute of it. Different things will happen in your life. Debbie, am I not telling it? You say, man, I got this report. But then God's word and God's will get sweet. It's because a circumstance is showing you something. There's another one. Acts 16 verses 9 through 10. A vision. I know that scares us Baptists. But folks, it's scripture. There may be some time that and what you're going through in your life, he will give you a vision of what he's going to do. Can I be honest with you? The church I pastored, it was a big old wooded hill. And I honestly saw the building sitting on that hill. I honestly, because God said, Keith, I'm going to use you, I saw the building. And when I left that building looked exactly what was in my vision the Lord gave me. Exactly looked the very same way. I'm simply saying this, folks, God can use a vision to tell you, this is what I'm going to do in your life. It's biblical. There's another thing. I want you to write it down. I'm just giving you all the different opportunities. Judges 6, book of Judges chapter 6, verses 37 through 39, you can put out a fleece. There may be some times that you just really feel trouble. Say, Lord, all right, we feel like that we're supposed to buy this this property to build a house on. And Lord, but I'm going to put out a fleece, and if I'm going to do this, if you use this, then that's going to be something that's going to let me know what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes you have to put out a fleece to see if it's the right thing or not. Also, I'm going quick, Matthew 2, 13, sometimes he'll give you a dream. Now, just because you eat extra onions on your hamburger doesn't mean that dream is real. It may be the onions, not the Lord. But there's sometimes that you and I are so busy in our day, we don't listen to him. He has to tell us something while we're asleep. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but it happened in the Bible. Sometimes. Amos 3, 7. Through people. God will use people to help you find God's will for your life. There's a safety in a multitude of counselors. So don't try to be a self-made man or woman. There may be sometimes you got to lose your pride and say, listen, I need some counsel. But pick somebody that's not going to tell you what you want to hear. Pick somebody godly. Amen. But there's more. I really want to be a blessing to y'all this morning. Hosea chapter 12, verse 10. Sometimes something will make an impression on you about God's will. Your brother and I were talking, Brother Jerry, and I were talking, and he and I believe this very same thing. I believe that there's a message. There's some message sometime that someone's going to preach that's going to make an impression on your life to change the way you live. Preaching is just not something we do so we can go to Captain D's afterward. There's a message in your future, it might have already happened, that you say, God, I needed that. That changed my life. There will be something that can make an impression on you, like a sermon, that will open the light on what God's will is for your life. The Bible teaches that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, peace coming in your heart. You say, Lord, I just have a peace about this. Like when back in 1981 when I started the church with four people, I had a peace. I was so excited about it. There was just a peace. I knew it was the right thing. I could tell you some stories about all the battles that came. There was a bank president and all his people. He got them all lined up to laugh me out of the bank. He said, just take your little group and go up to First Baptist in Gardendale. We don't need another church in this area, but I had a peace in my heart. I was supposed to start a church. I just knew it. There was a peace. Hello? Amen. Numbers chapter 12, verse 8. A voice. A voice. Somewhere there may be somebody, like I said, a lesson or something may tell you, this is what I want you to do. I'm just asking you, you know, Debbie and I go everywhere. You ought to see, we're in rural areas a lot, churches, and we love it. And we count on this new little thing called GPS. And she does it. When I say it, it can't understand me. But she knows. She says it just right. Give us directions to Canes Ridge Baptist Church, Fayette, Alabama. And that little voice says, What does it say? Getting directions to. You know, and however it does. And we'd be driving, just driving, and all of a sudden it says, take a left here. We've gone down some roads that I thought there'd be a bunch of moonshiners on. Folks, I'm not making this up. We're going to the, and it, I mean, it's not 65. I mean, little snaky roads, and then there's the church. But we trusted Siri. And know those little narrow roads, we got to where we were supposed to go. I'm going to close with this. If you and I find it so easy to trust Siri or that GPS, how about trusting the one who gave his very only son for our soul? Amen. And if he can trust us with his son to save us, we can trust him with everything else. Amen. Father, we've been in church today already. And Lord, I hope somehow, some way, something I've given in all these verses, because my opinion isn't worth anything. But Lord, your will is so important. And Lord, I just ask you, Father, that as I've taken this little styrofoam spiritual plate and I've put these different things in it and I'm handing it to these precious people and they're going to drive home, Lord, I pray that they'll take and eat every bite and they'll research this themselves and they'll get fed by these appetizers today to say, Lord, I'm hungry now for your will. I'm tired of living life on my own and doing it my way. I want to be thinking every day, Lord, is this what you want from me? Is this the direction for me? Because, Lord, that's the most important thing in life, to know your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all have been good. I hope I was a blessing in a little way. Here's the good thing. If I blew it this morning, I got another chance in a few minutes.